time. All right. Sometimes I don't know if my mic is on or it's not, because I got a big mouth, so no need to laugh. No need to laugh. That joke was on me, not on you, okay? Let me do the laughing. All right, children, come up front. If you're a child of heart, maybe you're 13 and under, or you feel that way, come on up to the front, and we'll have a story time. So come on up, and you're going to help me in the story here. So here we go. All right. Come on up. Fill up the rows in the front. What happened, young man? You asked me what is needed to... Oh, she wouldn't let you come on. Okay. I told him if you feel like a child, you know, sometimes I feel like a child, so come on up, don't be afraid. A man is as old as he feels, not as he looks, right? Be careful now. All right. I want to tell a story. Before I tell the story, I need some help. I need a king. Anybody look like a king here? Yeah, you look like a king. Come on up here. Go sit up there on the big throne here. Now, let's look around. Who's the tallest guy here? I knew you'd say Dana, right? No? He's not the tallest? Who's the tallest man in here? Hi, Dana. It's your turn. No, you come on up here. You go stand right up there. I'm in charge up here today. I give instructions. All right. So, the story goes along. Go up to the top, man. We want to see you nice and pretty looking. All right. So the story goes a long, long time ago. There was a king. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. And some of his friends came and told him one day, hey, king, listen, you got to let the people worship you in a different way. We're going to build a golden image, nice and tall and good looking. And when the people hear the music play, they'll all bow to the golden image. If they don't bow, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build ourselves a nice fiery furnace in the back of the piano there. And if you don't bow when the music play, we throw you in the back there. That sounds kind of harsh. So the king agreed and he signed a decree that all the people in the land, the princess, come on, princess, come on. Yeah, right here. I got to get up. Let me help you here. You got to call the princess, the sheriff, the judge. What we need again? What we need? Maybe get a governess. A governess. I'm making my own as I go. The governess. And all the people in the land will face this way. Should I put it in writing or should I have a translator? Face this way. And they all stood up. Everyone, stand up. And when the music played, all the people were supposed to bow. Well, we're running out of young men in the front here. Is there any other young men back there? All right. Where is he? Come on up, young man. Come on. Yeah, you. Yeah, you old enough. I need one more young man. All right. Oh, good. I need one more. Just one more now. Just one more. It's like New York subway, you know. There's always room for one more. There's a young man in the back there, all the way in the back there. Come on up, young man. Yeah, come on up. So when the music play, you'll all bow to the golden image. All right? Everybody hear the song? Do you want me to sing or you want to sing the song? All right, let's sing. Anybody know My God Is So Big? Let's try it. My God is... You mean I stop and everybody stop? My God is so big, so... And then all the people would bow. Come on. Except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, music play. Let's sing the song. My God is... Now you all get a bow. Keep singing. All right, so they all would bow except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, there was a snitch. And the snitch came and told the king, "Hey, king, when the music play, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow." And the king got angry. The king got angry. Excuse me. The king got angry. Okay, good. The king got angry. But the king says, "You know what? The next time the music plays, if you guys bow, all is forgiven." And Shadrach, with his big mouth, says, "King, whatever you say, we're not going to change. We're not going to bow, because our God is able to protect us from the fire. And even if our God do not protect us, we still wouldn't bow." And the king got very angry. I mean, stomping angry. And all right, cool yourself, he's really getting angry. So, we need a couple of help here. Come up here, young man. Yeah. King got one of his big, strong guys, grabbed him and threw him in the fiery furnace. Don't be afraid, man. Their parents ain't looking. Just grab him, throw him there. Throw him there. You tell me. Come on, grab him, man. Throw him there. And the last one, you got to fall down with them. You know that, right? You know the story. So they all fell down. Even the God fell down. Fell down. Good. Okay. All right. And then the king got up. Come on, king. And he went and he looked in there. And then there were four. One, two, three, four. And one has the appearance of, are you in pain, sir?
No.
Okay, good. One had the appearance of the Messiah. So the king went out and, bring them out. You got to stay right there, sir. You're dead meat. You stay right there. The king went out and brought the three of them out and he touched their head. Nice, except a little bit of gel or something, but it's okay. There's nothing. Oh, sorry, I'm not going to touch it anymore. And they were all well. And the king said, from this day on, all the people will bow to no other God but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Have a seat. Thank you, Dina. And, you could get up now. All right, let's unpack this story here now. What is it telling us? Hey, young man, come back up here. Hey, come back up here, young man. You too. Come on up here. Where you going? Back here. You got prizes to get. You can't leave out on the good stuff. All right. Now let's unpack the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a good position in the government. They may have had some influence later on. But they knew that the God they serve should never be compromised with nothing else. And everybody were doing it. You know, when the music played, where were all the Jews? They were all bowing down. But these three young men, purpose in their heart that they would not defile God. And even though they knew that there was a fiery furnace, they knew there was a God that is able. And the three young men, they stood their ground and they did not. And I want to encourage you as you grow old, trouble would come, temptation would come, friends would leave you. The king even said, listen, the next time the music play, if you bow down, all is good. He gave them a second chance. Second chance to do what was wrong. And sometimes you have some people who would say they're your friends and they say, well, you know, if you come with us and you do this with us and this wrong thing here and this there, we could be our friends and we could. And you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then one day they say, listen, I know you didn't come the last time, but if you would come just one more time again, we'll forgive you for all the rest. But if it's wrong, if it's against God, don't do it. You would make a greater impact or influence. You would be better off standing up for God. Now, sometimes you say, well, what happened in the story? God didn't protect them from the fire, but he was with them in the fire. And God may not protect you from everything that is in life to come, but he's always with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you till the end. And I want you young children to remember that story. Because they stood up for God, God stood with them. And yes, people would come and they would tell you, yes, but there's no, if the word of God says it, whether I believe it or not, it settles it. And God said, there must be no other God before me. You bow to no God, no man. The only one you bow your heart to is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you as young children to remember that story. To remember how those young men made an impact. That over 2,000 years ago this happened. And today we still read the story of those three young men that stood for God. And God once is looking for young people to stand up. And he may be calling one of you one day to go through a test and to come out on the right side. So remember that. Now, we got a couple of stuff there, but it depends on how much you remember this morning's story and the story we just did. So without shouting out loud, if you know the answer, just put your hand up, tell us the answer, and you get a choice to go into that bottle and take all you can out of it. Or one of the other. One of the Payday or Reese's. So you could choose which one. So the question number one is, this morning, we read from the book of, the chapter was, and you get a bonus point if you could tell us the verse that I started on. Go ahead, young lady. I see your hand was up. Go ahead. Huh? The book? Which book was it? Which book of the Bible was it? No. I did spoke about Isaiah a little bit. Yes, you. But I spoke about a certain book of the Bible that Brother Harold preached on last week. Okay, right here. Go ahead.
Daniel.
That's me. Yeah, you're right. That's me. I'm Daniel. But no, we didn't speak of Daniel this morning. But that's what I had. Oh, sorry. So then, okay. I was wrong. That was just a verse that I used. So since you did that and I was wrong, go ahead. Take something. Go ahead. Help yourself. Oh, boy. He knew what he wanted. All right. That was my mistake. I didn't preach on Daniel, but that was the verse up there. So you're right. Go ahead, young man. Yeah. Luke. Okay. What chapter? I don't want it. And you get 15, right? So what is it? Luke 15. So, both of you, come on. Let's go. All right. So, we got two more questions. Go down, man. Take us. Oh, don't take one. I'm not going to be with you tonight. Yeah? Oh, your mom is looking at you now. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. All right. In the story today, what was the name of the king? What was the name? All right. Go ahead, young lady. Nebuchadnezzar. Someone to help up? Just come up and get something here. Very good. King Nebuchadnezzar. An easy one. What was the name of the three young men? Whoa, that was too quick, man. You come up tomorrow. No, just joking. Come on up. All right. You good, girl. You got your handful. Oh, boy, he's thinking. All right. Now, I want you to remember, what's the main point? And I was talking about not compromising. When I say compromise, let me get it in children's term now. What made a difference in that city? What made a difference? What do you think made a difference in that city? Anyone? Where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What made a difference? Anyone want to guess what made a difference? Come on, it's not like a hard question, but I'll give you an easy answer. Yeah, you want to go? You go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, God made a big difference. And God will make the big difference in your life. If you stand for him, he stands for you. Come on up, take it, and let me have a word of prayer for you. And maybe tomorrow we'll have some other candy. And maybe tomorrow we'll have another children's. Tomorrow is a nice one. Tomorrow I got a little skit I want you to help me with, so I need some young men and ladies to help me tomorrow in the one we're going to do tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for these young children. Bless them and keep them. We think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the difference they made, the difference you made, the difference of God being the center of their attention. Lord, we give you thanks for them. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you go back to your seats now. And tomorrow we'll have some more questions on the message today. And Dana, no, sorry, you don't get to come and get any candy. I'm sorry. Free job. All right, let's get that song going. And once we get that song going, we will continue with the mercies of God. I want you to remember that song, because I'm going to use it today and tomorrow yet. As a matter of fact, what the plan is, the first three messages, keep it going. The first three messages is on three men. The next three will be on three women. And we'll have a lot to learn from these three women.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. And mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. And mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
If you only knew me then, you believe me now. I don't know if you connect at all with this song. The grave that I should have been in is where my sins have been buried. The cross that I was supposed to carry, he did it for me. And he did it for you. As I share my story, it's not about me, it's all about him. I tell people it's not about my story, it's his glory. I stopped earlier this morning by sharing with you something happened. On that one day in the marketplace, while I was in the marketplace at a young age, I ran away from my father's house, and because of all the spanking and all the hardness, and I ran away from home, and I ended up on the streets and were doing my own little business, buying and selling in the marketplace at a very young age. And that one day in the marketplace, I saw the lady walking, and I tapped her on the shoulder and says, "Ma'am, would you like to buy?" And the lady looked around and says, "No, son, it was my mother." The door was okay. The son pierced my heart. Devastated. I never wanted to talk to her, and now I'm asking her for something. "Would you buy?" And she said no, which I could live with, but son, I don't want to be your son. I walked away that day hoping that the earth could open up and I could be swallowed in. Well, God had it in such a way where I met her a couple more times. And she started to talk to me a little bit. Just, you know, she was working right where I was, close to where I was working at the time by the marketplace. And we'd have little chit-chats. And then one day I came home and I heard that she died. It was a time of festivity in the island of Trinidad. It's called a time we call Carnival. It's the 2 days before Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is not a big thing in America, but in the island of Trinidad, the Monday and Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is the day you can do whatever you want. Get drunk, do whatever you want, because Ash Wednesday morning you go to church and they give you some ashes on your forehead and that cleans all your sin away. That's what they said anyway. When Riley, she died, it didn't bother me at all. I went partying and drinking and never even thought about it. Then I found out she died because she was having an abortion. And with the abortion, things went worse for her. They called it septic poisoning, and I found out what it was. And in my mind, I thought that was good for her. You know, she tried to get rid of me, and here she tried to get rid of another child. And today, if I had known, I could have forgiven her. And I've done that. I would still love her. Because I might have done the same if I were in her place. I don't know what I would have done. Because I've done some things in my life that I regret today. Well, she passed away, and then a month later, I came home where I was staying from work, and I heard my dad had passed away. Now, I'd seen him a couple of times before he died, because by then I was working in the hospital. God gave me favor, and I got a job in the hospital doing sweeping and cleaning and stuff, and I heard he was there, and I saw him a couple of times. He lost both legs, had diabetes, and died. But by the time I heard he had died, he was already buried that same day. I went to the house where he and I used to live, a very small one-bedroom, living room, dining room, kitchen house. It was very small, smaller than your classroom. We had no electric, no running water, no indoor plumbing. We had back in the island, they call it a latrine? Yeah. Oh, you got to go down, so a little way from the house. So at nighttime, if you need to go, you run into some problems. Then you get in there and you got to fight with the frogs and the roaches to get them out. And there was no pull strings. It was all one song you hear every time. Very tough life we lived in. I went back to that house. Remember having to get up in the morning and go fetch water in 2 paint cans. Remember having no electricity and having to salt all our food and our meat. It brought me back to a lot of memories. And I got there and he had already been buried. I would have gone to his funeral. Today I regret that I wasn't there for him. Because in some way he was there for me. But then something happened. Turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to continue on here. Luke, the 15th chapter. This morning we talked about the runaway kid, the runaway son, the lost son, the runaway and filled the flesh with all the things the world had to offer. Had fair weather friends, lost all of them, lost everything that he all had, all his possession. Ran away from home saying, this is what I want rather than what he needed, and ran away from what he really needed to what he wanted. Lost it all. Came to his senses. Said to himself, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say to Dad, sorry. I've sinned against you and against God. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Went on home. Was brought back into the home. Not no longer as a slave, like he was living in the pig pen. But got back his royalty, got back his dignity. And now you have the next couple of verses, what you're going to go into now. Verse 25, now his older brother was in the field. Luke 15, 25, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go into the house. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these years, many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. This one I call him the stay home son. We had the runaway son, the lost son. This one is the one that stayed at home with some bad attitude. I want to unpack this one here. If you'd allow me to. The older brother in the story stayed home and worked for the dad while the younger brother was off doing his own thing. The older brother resolved that he would work all day, every day, earning his keep instead of demanding it like his younger brother. So far, so good. Like many of us want to work hard. Some of us want to work hard into the kingdom. Nothing wrong with working hard. God wants us to work. By the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat. That might not have been a bad idea, except that the older brother lost sight of why he was working. He lost sight why he was home with his father. As a matter of fact, he was working so much, maybe he never noticed the father. And sometimes I could get myself in that, in ministry. And you could get so much involved in ministry, in work, in entertainment, that you lost sight of your Creator. You lost sight of the one that woke you up this morning. You lost sight of the one that allowed your lungs to breathe air. He was doing all the right things, maybe for the wrong reason. We get involved in a 9-to-5 job, which is great for us to work. We get involved in ministry, which is great to get involved in ministry. We get involved in families. Like Sheldon said this morning, sometimes it's hard to let a son or daughter go, especially if you're not too sure of the place, New York City. A far way off, but keep your eyes on God. The same God that can protect the son at home here can protect the son in New York City and everywhere else. So here was the son. He was at home, and he had a bad heart. He was at home in the father's house, and yet he wanted more than what he had. Like many of us at churches, we look all good, all proper. As a matter of fact, sometime this week I want to talk about those virgins, the 10, the wise and the foolish virgins. Who looked the part and talked the part and played the part, but your heart was far away from God. We come into church and we look good. We stay at home and we look good and we're doing all the things, but what are we doing it for? Are we doing it for the right reason? Or are we just doing it for show? To get a pat on the back? He was at home, but yet he wasn't in the Father's house. See, you could be in church every Sunday, but God could not be present in your life. Because what are you doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? I believe in the mercies of God. I believe in the love of God. I believe in His forgiveness and His grace and His mercy. I also believe in His holiness and what He has called us to. In the verse we read this morning in Sunday school, it talks about your walk. Are you just talking it or are you walking it? See, this young man that was stayed at home, he was probably talking about all the good he was doing. But he had a wicked heart. Rather than being happy and joyful that his brother came home safe, did he ever inquire where the brother was? Was his thoughts ever about the brother, or was it about I, coming against selfishness? This is what I've been doing. I've been giving tithes to the church. I've been in church every Sunday. I help my parents all the time. I pray to God. But is it for selfish reasons? Or is it because you want to worship God? Is it because you know that God is honored when we open our hearts up to Him? If you allow me to look at a different aspect of this message, I've shared this a couple of times before. I want to share it here today. Now, the story of this prodigal son is, tomorrow we want to condense it to the father, but if you allow me to talk about the older brother for a little bit. Some of us have grown up with brothers and sisters that can relate to the basic of the story, who has not been held accountable to a certain standard. You have brothers and you have sisters in your home, and you are held to a different standard than them. They go out and do whatever they want to, and it doesn't seem like it's much. My children sometimes suggest that to us, that our younger children get away with things that the older ones didn't get away with. Our younger ones were getting away with things that, you know, dad and mom would be furious about when they were younger. We get angry and sometimes even resentful of our little brother or sister. We also grow up angry with our parents and demand to know why we are not held to the same standard that they are held to. They held to a weaker standard than we were. Today I want to talk about the older brother from a different light. I want you to think about it. The older brother says, all these years I've been with you, and you never even gave me a little goat to celebrate with my friends. And this son of yours that took all and squandered it, came back home and you're having a big party for him. And we think that's wrong. I mean, he should never think that way. The son came home. He was lost and now found. He was dead and now alive. But don't you deep down in your heart to think about how would you feel? I shared this one time with a youth group many years ago. And I asked the question to the young people, do you feel like the older brother or do you feel like the young? And I gave a little slips of paper that you would write which one do you feel like in your home. And I was shocked to see how many felt like the older brother. I had one young man stood up with tears coming down his face. Said, you know, we play football. And sometimes we play and we win the tournament and we come back home and there's a big party and everybody is partying and drinking and smoking. And this is the church kids. He said, and I would hold back. And I wouldn't get involved. I'd go home because I feared God and I didn't want to do what was wrong. He said, but then Sunday morning, there's an altar call, and a lot of the young men who partied and drank came up front, and everybody laid hands on them and prayed for them and hugged them and kissed them and cried with them. And he said, but you know, the same thing they had done, I wanted to do it too. The same grace that brought the prodigal son back home is the same grace that kept the older brother at home. I'm saying all that to say, don't neglect the one because they look good in the home. Because sometimes their heart may be in the wrong place. Tend to that heart also. Don't take them for granted because they're looking good and, you know, and they're being obedient and they're in church. But they're tempted also. See, my story sounds great to many, you know. The prodigal son, he went out into the world and now here he is preaching all over the world. I shared with a man from my church in New York City. He never drank in his life. He never smoked. He never had any kind of intimacy until he was married. And I asked a question to the church one day with him sitting there. How many of you here would want to hear his story? Wasn't much hands up. How many would like to hear my story? See, because my story has some of the things you've been tempted with. See, my story has some of the temptations, some of the things that you would have loved to experience. But you know, the same temptation he had also, he shared with me. The grace of God kept him. The love of God kept him. And the fear from sin kept him. So today I want to encourage you, parents. Don't neglect the one that looks like they're doing good. Seek out their hearts also. I had a young lady at that same youth session that stood up and started wanting to go into deep sob. She said, I have a younger sister that she goes out and party and drink. And every night I can hear my dad and mom praying for her and crying out, and Sunday the church is praying for her. I said, I've been tempted many times just like her, but they never prayed for me. And I thought to myself, maybe what I need to do is start doing some of the same things that I could get some attention. She came to the place of wanting to sin so she could get attention from her parents. Don't neglect that son or daughter that seems to be doing good, because there's still trouble in the heart. That older brother had a troubled heart. But maybe the dad felt, oh good, you know, he was home and everything is great. Now I'm talking about a physical father. Now a heavenly father is different because he knows your heart. But I want to talk about the physical parents. Because I told you, the dad I had, he was a hard man. Very hard. A shoemaker get the best leather. And the best leather makes the best belt. And the best belt makes the best spanking equipment at that time. And he took a lot of his anger out on me. I thought I was the good one. I was at home, but my heart was never at home. I was being obedient because of fear of what may happen to me. It wasn't because of love, but because of fear. I want to say, remember not to stay in the Father's house because of fear, but because of His love and what He has done for you and I. To remain in the Father's house. To know His love, His grace, and His mercy. Because I'm here to tell you tonight that it's because of His grace and His mercy I'm here. I might have been a prodigal son. My wife would have been a symbol of the older brother at home. She was always at home. When I met her, she was the opposite of me. Still today. In some ways. But nobody knew that this old wretched heart of mine, God can bring it and turn it around. I didn't even believe He could have done it. So in closing, I wasn't going to keep you long tonight, Sunday night. But I think of the bitterness that older brother endured while being at home. The hard-heartedness, the self-righteousness. You know, I'm home, I'm doing this. I'm a church, I'm... That's the negative part of him. The negative part. But what about the other part? If you have a son or a daughter at home that feel neglected because you're so busy running after the prodigal. Doesn't mean you don't go after the prodigal. Doesn't mean that you... It's just like the man. He had 100 sheep. One got lost. The 99 was still important. He loved the 99. But one was lost. He went out there and got it and picked it up, put it on his shoulder and brought it back home. That's the love and mercy of God. Now my question to you is, that older brother, would he be forgiven if he repent? And you know the answer is yes. It don't matter what hard, wicked heart you may have had, but if you would come to God with repentance, just like the younger brother came back home with repentance and seeking forgiveness, he was forgiven. That older brother will also be forgiven if he would come back with repentance. Let us stand. So there are two parts of this parable. There's two parts of all the parables. In the parable of the prodigal son, we see he ran away. And he did his own thing. And the next part, we see he came back home and forgiven and everything was well. I want to say there are two parts also to the older brother. The hard, wicked, selfishness, self-deceited. I mean, you could find all kind of words to say how what kind of man he could have been to not be joyful that his brother that was dead came alive, was lost and not found. On the other side, what about he felt neglected? What if that son or daughter felt, we need to do something bad and go out into the world so I could get a little bit of attention? There's a lot of young people today are crying out. They go to EBI and they go to SMBI and they come home and you don't know what's happening in their hearts. I had to learn a lot of these things. I'm still learning some of these things. Thank God if you have a son or daughter still in following the Lord. Just as much as you pray for the one that left, pray for the one that's still following. Attend to that heart. Nurture it. Tell them what you love. See, one of the biggest problems, I was going to talk about it later in the week or so, one of the biggest problems, I'll just share this quickly with you, one of the biggest problems in our churches today is that as men, many of us, not all of us, many of us do not attend or share with the women or sisters, our daughters, our wives, how much we appreciate the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. We don't do it enough. We talk about the one that is wearing the clothes that is clothesless and the one with a wicked heart, and sometimes we forget, you know, own youth group to compliment the younger sisters in the group. How much you appreciate. Coming from a world of lust and sin and adultery that I came from, I appreciate not having to worry about my eyes as much as I do in the world when I come to church. And I blame a lot of it on some of us as men. Do we really share with our daughters and our sisters and other women? I know it's kind of hard sometimes to tell a woman, you know, I just love how you dress. But in a way that is conservative, in a way that I doesn't, you know, you bend or you know, whatever you do, it doesn't cause me to go down to that place. I know we're all supposed to be accountable for what we look at and what we see and where we put our eyes, but could we compliment a little bit more the ones that we see they're doing the right thing rather than just run after the one that is going in the wrong way? Not neglecting that one. No neglect. But balance it off. Let us pray. Father, tonight, I give you thanks. Lord, I didn't even know where I was going to go with this, but Lord, I pray what I have said, you would take that and multiply it in the hearts of those who have listened. Because it's not me, Lord, it's you, your spirit working in them, not just now, but as they go home, as they ponder on some of these things. The forgiveness of the Father to the prodigal son. The hard-heartedness of the older brother. Yet, Lord, as we look at this story, we think of so many times we neglect the one that seems to be doing good to run after the prodigals. Help us to run after the prodigals, to intercede for them, to pray for them, but help us not to neglect the ones that seems to be doing good, yet their heart is hard. Yet there is resentment, selfishness, anger, jealousy. Help us, Lord God, to tend to those hearts too. Lord, I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. I don't know why you want me to go down this road. But I pray, God, that you would touch the heart of that one that needs a touch. To know our Heavenly Father is not like our earthly Father. You're a big, big God with a big, big heart. And you love us. And your mercies extend to us when we come to you with repentance. You forgive. So, Father, we thank you tonight. And we praise you. Challenge us, O God. And this is your word. And only your spirit, Lord, is going to move us to make a change as we adapt. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just in closing, I want to say to you that I didn't have parents that taught me how to parent my children. Tomorrow I want to share with you the message of the older. Tomorrow I want to share with you the message of the father. And I'm taking most of what I get from the word of God because I didn't have it in my own life. Parenting God's way. Simple question I want to leave you with. The prodigal son, the older brother, the father. The father had two sons. One ran away and lived a reckless life. The other one had a hard heart and unforgiveness. If you know a father like that, would you ask him to come and preach at your church? Because sometimes we think you have to be, you know. I'm going to leave you with that thought, and then I'll expand it more tomorrow. But thank you so much. Sheldon, you want to come back up and...